Can Greeks afford even higher taxes to save the country from default?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European financial inspectors are back in Athens today after the Greek government passed a property tax that has a lot of citizens and business leaders upset. What could turn out to cost each household at least $1,000 a year. A lot of folks say they'll be unable to pay. But European leaders say the government must be able to take in more money in order for the country to avoid default. Konstantin Mikalos is chairman of the Athens Chamber of Commerce and Industry. He's with us now from Athens to talk about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Do these taxes affect businesses in Greece?
Absolutely, especially the one that was voted last night, the so-called property tax, which was, first of all, totally uncalled for, and secondly, private sector in Greece has taken the full burden of this recession ever since the government began this austerity program. That was the 11th taxation reform against the private sector over the last 18 months.
How does the country raise money then? I mean, it's buried in debt.
What we need now is less austerity and more stimulus. And unfortunately, both the government and the Troika don't realize that the recipe that they have been following over the last 2 years is incorrect. It's hitting against a brick wall. And unless we change very soon, I fear the worst.
Do you think Greece should stay in the Eurozone?
We fought very hard and sacrificed a great deal to become part of the European family, part of the Eurozone. And I think that this is an excellent opportunity for Europe to show a united front, for Germany, who is the leader of Europe in terms of economic indicators, to prove to the world that it's a more European Germany and a less Germanic Europe.
Konstantin Mikalos with the Athens Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Sir, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed at the moment. London's FTSE is down a little bit. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 146 points to close at 11,190. Boeing's first new 787 Dreamliner landed in Tokyo earlier today to take its place in the fleet of All Nippon Airways. The Dreamliner's 3 years late, and that could be an indication of delays to come as Boeing and its European rival Airbus prepare to fill a record number of new orders for airplanes. From London, here's reporter Christopher Worth.
Boeing and Airbus are fierce competitors, but at this factory in Scotland, wing sections for both companies' planes are hammered out side by side.
The two largest commercial aircraft companies are our biggest customers.
That's Conrad King of Spirit AeroSystems. It's a company that's just one piece of a global supply chain that Boeing and Airbus will depend on to churn out more planes, a lot more planes. This year alone, new orders have totaled over $90 billion.
It's one of, or if not the most critical issue facing our industry at this point in time, is how do we grow our production rates?
Airbus has publicly warned that that supply chain, which provides everything from jet engines to the overhead compartments for your carry-on bag, may not be able to ramp up production fast enough. Joseph Lampel, an aerospace expert at London's Cass Business School, says both Airbus and Boeing face serious bottlenecks. And he says a big reason is because manufacturers make parts for both companies.
For Airbus and Boeing, their supply chain overlaps so much that they come to the same supplier and basically make the same demands for components.
New aircraft like the 787 rely on cutting-edge materials such as lightweight carbon fiber. That means component suppliers have to secure financing for expensive new machinery. Graham Chisnell of the UK's Aerospace Trade Association says that's difficult when banks aren't lending.
That's one of the bottlenecks. Can these companies get the cash to actually fund the expansion that's necessary?
Back at Spirit AeroSystems factory, the company says it's on track to expand production just fine. Even then, airlines will have to wait years for the planes they've ordered. The backlog for the 787 Dreamliner, for example, is at 820 planes. If the airlines have to wait too long, they may start to cancel their orders in droves. In Scotland, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. by Novo Nordisk, since 1923 committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com.
Amazon's expected to unveil its new e-reader this morning. The new Kindle Fire is expected to be much more like a tablet, yet cost much less than an iPad. But as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins explains, it's all about the content.
Developer Eric Wise has created dozens of apps for the iPad, including Cowboys and Aliens, The Kids, an interactive book that teaches children how to read.
So you could swipe any of these words.
Wild.
If you hit it twice.
W. H.
It spells the word. iTunes sells the app for $2, pretty typical prices. Wise thinks Kindle users would be willing to spend more for apps like this that feel more like books.
Because they're already used to spending that kind of money on a device for a single book, they would buy an app, in most cases, for a premium.
At less than $300, analysts say Amazon's new Kindle could be the first serious competitor to the iPad. They predict Amazon may sell as many as 5 million devices by the end of the year.
What that means is that Amazon's application and content sales are going to explode.
Tech analyst Laura DiDio says that's where Amazon really makes its money, on books, music, films, and other content. The Kindle is mostly a delivery system. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the revered Packers and their foam cheesehead-wearing fans, a group of doctors wanted to advertise the health hazards of cheese. So they announced their billboard would feature the Grim Reaper wearing a cheesehead. Packers fans were not happy, and they lashed out. The maker of the foam wedge cheesehead hats threatened to sue, and the doctors decided to black out the hat on the Grim Reaper's head on the billboard. Maybe cheese is just bad for them. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
There's a nursing program in Detroit that cranks out new graduates, but fast. Its jobs placement rate? Oh, 100%.
Everyone and their brother are going, they're in school to be a nurse right now. I mean, everybody knows at least five people, I swear.
I'm Kai Rizdal. New consumer confidence in the Motor City next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.